Chapter 2, The Stranger's Story. That evening, I sat by the fire in my hotel room, thinking about the days of knights in armor and the stranger I had met in Warwick Castle. I wondered about the things he had told me. How did he know so much about the time of King Arthur? I wished that I had had the opportunity to ask him questions and find out more about him. Then I began to read a book of stories about King Arthur that I had found in a local bookshop. One of the stories was about the brave knight Sir Lancelot. In the story, Sir Lancelot fought two giants and cut off their heads with one stroke of his sword. Later in the story, Sir Lancelot freed 60 ladies from the castle where the giants had been keeping them prisoner. "We will always remember the brave knight that saved us," the ladies said. Then Sir Lancelot got onto his horse and rode away. After riding for many hours, he saw three knights who were fighting a man. Sir Lancelot took his sword and ran to help the man. After 6 strokes of his sword, Sir Lancelot had all 3 knights on the ground. The man was very grateful.
"My name is Sir Kay," he said. "You are a brave knight, and I'll always remember that you saved my life."
Sir Lancelot told the 3 knights to ride to King Arthur's castle at Camelot and tell the king that they were the prisoners of Sir Kay. While I was reading, there was a knock on the door. I put the book down and opened the door. The stranger, whom I had met in Warwick Castle, was standing there. I invited him to come in.
"I hope I'm not disturbing you," he said.
"Not at all," I replied. "I'm very pleased to see you. I had hoped that we would have a chance to talk again." I gave him a glass of whiskey. His hand trembled as he took the glass, and his face was very pale. "Are you all right?" I asked.
"I'll be fine," he said. "I just need to sit down."
He sat down slowly in a chair and drank some of the whiskey. Then he began to tell me about himself.
"My name is Hank Morgan, and I'm an American," he said. "I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, so you could call me a Yankee. I used to work in a factory that made guns and machinery. I was very talented at making things, and I soon became a supervisor in the factory. One day, during an argument with a worker, I was hit over the head with a metal bar. I fell on the ground, unconscious. When I woke up again, I noticed that everything around me looked different. I was sitting on soft grass instead of the hard ground I had been standing on before. I looked up and saw that I was under a tree. Where did that tree come from? I thought. Then I realized that I was in the countryside. My pipe and tobacco were lying on the grass near the tree. They must have fallen out of my pocket, I thought. As I was about to pick them up, I saw a shadow moving towards me. I looked up, and I saw a man on a horse. It was the strangest sight I had ever seen. The man had a helmet on his head and a spear in his hand, and he was dressed in armor, just like the armor that knights wore in King Arthur's time. His horse was covered with a colorful silk cloth. I thought I was dreaming. I tried to wake myself up so that the man would disappear, but nothing helped. My head hurt terribly. If I were dreaming, my head wouldn't hurt, I thought. The man said something. He spoke with an English accent, and at first it was difficult to understand him.
"Kind sir, have you got any gold for the king?" the man asked.
"Gold for the king?" I repeated. I was very confused. "What are you talking about?" The man pulled out his sword.
"I am a knight of King Arthur. Have respect when you are talking to me, or prepare to fight," he shouted.
Now I was getting angry. I was sure that the man was from a circus.
What do you want? I asked him. Go back to your circus and leave me alone. The man turned his horse around and moved away. At first, I thought he was leaving, but when he was a short distance away, he turned towards me again and lifted up his long spear. When he came towards me at full speed, I knew I was in trouble. I climbed up the tree as quickly as I could. The man isn't from a circus. He's mad, I thought. He's probably escaped from a psychiatric hospital. Perhaps if I wait up here long enough, someone will find him and take him back. I waited for what seemed like an hour, but no one came, and the man didn't leave. If you do what I tell you, I won't hurt you, the man finally said. What do you want me to do? I asked. Come with me as my prisoner, he replied. I couldn't sit in the tree all night, so I thought I had better do what the man told me. Maybe he'll take me to the psychiatric hospital that he escaped from, I thought. Then he'll be safely locked away again, and I'll be able to go home. I climbed down from the tree and walked by the side of his horse. I had no idea where we were. I couldn't see any buildings or roads, and nothing looked familiar. We walked through forests and over streams that I had never seen before. I was more puzzled about this than about the man from the psychiatric hospital. Where was the metal factory? What had happened to all the tall buildings in Hartford? I asked the man how far we were from Hartford, but he said he'd never heard of it. I was getting really tired of this foolish man. Everyone's heard of Hartford, I said, annoyed. It's the capital of Connecticut! After an hour, we saw a town in the distance. On a hill behind the town, we could see the towers of a huge castle. What's the name of that town? I asked, pointing.
Camelot,
he replied. I had read about Camelot in stories about King Arthur. Obviously, the man from the psychiatric hospital had read the stories too.
Oh, yes, of course, it's Camelot,
I said sarcastically. There was no point in arguing with the man, so we walked in silence for the rest of the journey.
Suddenly, Hank put his glass down and stopped talking. He looked tired, and his hands were trembling. He took a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped his face. Are you sure you're all right? Is there anything I can do for you? I asked.
No, I'm just too tired to continue, he said. But I'd really like you to know my story. I've written it down, and you can read it if you like.
I'd be very interested to read it, I said. Hank got up slowly from the chair. As he walked to the door, I thought he was going to fall, so I ran forward and took his arm. His face had become very pale. I'm sure you're ill, I said. Would you like me to call a doctor?
Just help me to my room, Hank replied. I want to give you what I've written.
I helped him to his room, where he took an old manuscript out of a bag and gave it to me. The pages were yellowed and covered with dust, and they had a damp smell.
Begin here, he said, indicating a page. I've already told you the first part.
After I had helped Hank into a chair and brought him a glass of water, I took the manuscript back to my room and cleaned the dust from it. Then I sat down and began reading.